Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankaravavahai Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So chapter 21, the Pandavas exile. After everyone had left the gambling match, Dushasana said to Duryodhana, O great hero, that old man gave everything back that we strive so hard to acquire. The Pandavas are sent back to their kingdom, and we are back where we started. And so here you have the interesting point is that Duryodhana, Yudhishthira's kingdom was never theirs. They were envious and they wanted it. And then they made this devious plan, they cheated in that, and then they got, you know, the kingdom. And then Dushasana is feeling so bad that we worked so hard, as if sitting there and laughing at the Pandavas was like super hard work. And that. But they're unable to see, you know, what they're doing, how they're behaving, and what effect it will have on their life. But unfortunately, this is the demoniac mentality. It's just, it only sees the good that you're getting right now in the immediate future. It doesn't actually see the consequences. Because as we see, you know, Dushasana makes the point is that we may have acted sinfully, but the gods have given us what we want, so that means it's okay. They don't understand this. No, by somehow or another, by how the unfolding of fate, you've gotten it, but still the sins you've committed, you'll get reaction for. They don't consider these points. So whatever, here it is, they're lamenting for their bad plans didn't work out. The two brothers consulted Karna and Shakuni. They condemned the blind king for his softness. Right? They see it as softness. What they just see it that, you know, he... Any softness is considered weakness. By this sinful mentality, they can't see good behavior, good culture, appreciation, a proper etiquette. Following that, they just take it as weakness, because their point is you want something, you just take it. So it's just like an animal. You know, something's there to eat, they just go and take it. And so they think it's weakness if you don't do that. They don't understand this. Dhritarashtra, he is trained, though he is attached to his son. So he could understand that it had reached, the sinfulness of the activities had reached such a point that the Kurus were about to be destroyed. And so therefore then he, you know, you following the intelligent path, pulled back from that, gave everything back to the Pandavas, glorified them for their greatness, which was true. And that, and let them go. But Duryodhana and his brothers, they only take, oh, that's weakness. Because it's just what you want, you strive, you take it, and you have it, and then you're happy. How could he have been so foolish as to show kindness to such powerful enemies? That was a serious mistake. Unless they acted quickly to reverse the situation, they would soon face great danger. Right? They make the trouble. They create the danger. Now they have to work to overcome this danger. This is another aspect you can see of the sinful mentality, is you have the laws of nature, you have the laws of God. You follow them, things work out nicely. And, you know, you may have some previous bad karma, but point is if you're performing the proper activities now, it moves forward. It will improve. Though there may be still some residual coming from the past. But they make their own plan, they don't follow the laws of God. That turns out to wrong, because it's sinful. Of course it'll be wrong. Then the trouble that they cause from that, now we have to solve that problem. So they're very enthusiastic to make their own plans and solve the problems that they create. You know, so then it's working within, you know, according to them, their construct, rather than thinking that, no, it's God's environment. You have to work within that. The spies had already reported how the five brothers were proceeding towards Indraprastha. Bhima was whirling his massive mace. Arjuna's were repeatedly twanging the Gandiva bow. Nakula and Sahadeva were waving their great swords, and Yudhishthira held aloft his spear. It was clear that they were ready to fight. They're angry because how they were dealt with was wrong on all accounts. There was nothing that was right. And so, being Kshatriyas, they're going to, you know, let off their steam in this way. But that they were leaving and going back to Indraprastha, that means that they were following the guidance of Dhritarashtra to, you know, forgive the cousins and move on with life. Otherwise, if they would have fought or wanted to fight, Bhima would have killed them all right there, right in the court. Why go outside and then come back in? He would have done it right there. But they went out, and they're going back, and they're angry, and they're tight. So they are ready to fight, but that's only if Duryodhana creates a fight. But if he doesn't create a fight, what's the problem? And Shakuni's suggestion, Duryodhana again approached his father. Their only hope, Shakuni said, was another gambling match, right? Because that's all he knows how to do. This time the Kauravas should win something, right? Last time they won something, but then it was given back as it was wrong. So now they're saying, we should win as if we lost, you know. The Gandhara monarch revealed his plan, and Duryodhana immediately went to Dhritarashtra's chambers, right? In other words, if it's sinful, Duryodhana is going to like it. Duryodhana found the king seated on a golden couch. Sitting at his feet, he said, Father, we must recall the Pandavas for another game before it is too late. They create the problem, then they push the urgency. We have stirred to anger a number of venomous serpents. How can we possibly expect them to tolerate the insult we offer to their wife? A powerful enemy must be destroyed by any means. Right, so now when they're in a weaker position, now they're seeing their wrongs, like that. We have started something which we cannot now stop. Duryodhana told his father that if the Pandavas could somehow be sent away, then it would give him time to find allies and build his strength. He already tried that before, and the Pandavas came back more powerful and a bigger kingdom and everything. So that's the thing, is they have so much faith in their own plans. Not that they're not confident and do their duties, but their plans don't include following what's appropriate. So it's like a misplaced, concept of being confident and doing what you can do best. So the Pandavas did go away. They already did cultivate their allies. They did already do all these things. And still Yudhishthira came out on top. But, you know, that's the thing. They're foolish. Using the Pandavas' vast wealth, he can make his position unassailable. First, however, Yudhishthira and his brothers had to be removed from the scene. Duryodhana described the plan Shakuni and he had contrived. The king should call the Pandavas back for one final game of dice. It was clear that they and the Kauravas would not be able to coexist peacefully. It's clear, meaning Duryodhana can't tolerate. Yudhishthira and them are leaving. That means that they're willing to cooperate. But he can't. He's just so envious, he cannot tolerate. But he'll have to say, no, we created this, they're going to do this, that, therefore we have to, like that. Therefore, whoever lost the dice game should live in the forest in exile for 13 years. During the final year, they could emerge from the forest, but had to remain incognito. If they were discovered, then they would have to again go into the forest for a second 12 years. Such would be the stakes for this final game, right? Hoping that then that'll just go on again and again and again. Right? Because it's been designed, because they know they'll win the match. So they've designed the stakes that they feel that they can always win. But, you know, of course, again, they won't win. Dhritarashtra remained silent after his son had stopped speaking. It was true that the Pandavas were now a real threat. Who could gauge the outcome of a war between those powerful brothers and his own sons? But another gambling match, what would Vidura and Bhishma say? It would probably be wiser to let things stand as they were for the present. Yudhishthira was virtuous and would keep his brothers in check. Right? So that's the whole that's the reality of what's there. because he's more wise than that. So he can see this, that this is how they'll behave. So there shouldn't be a problem unless Duryodhana creates a problem. But as Duryodhana said, he can't coexist peacefully with them. He will create trouble. Then, of course, there will be a war. Seeing his father's hesitation, Duryodhana implored him. The king felt himself weakening. It was almost impossible for him to refuse his son. And if Duryodhana were to win the final match, as seemed likely, then the Kauravas would become the undisputed rulers of the earth. He himself would sit at their head. Even though Yudhishthira was the world's emperor, if he agreed to the stakes and lost, he would certainly feel honor-bound to enter the forest, right? He's honor-bound. This, you can see, it's when you talk that side, it's all dharma, honor, everything like that. When it's Duryodhana's side, it's just envy and all of these things. Considering that everything lay in the hands of fate, now this is the father, especially the father's fault, but it is Duryodhana comes up with a plan, that doesn't work, another plan, another plan. His father then, he sees how things are working and what's the right thing to do and what's not. His son can't see that. And so then he'll feel that, it's all in the hands of fate, so it could go either way. Because he sees sometimes someone does good and they get a bad result. What's not understood is they're getting the bad result from previous bad work. But the good work that they do right now, in the future, that will give them a good result. But they're putting together, the work I did now was good, the result I got was bad. Therefore, then you do good work, good, bad work, then it doesn't matter. Someone else is doing bad work and getting good result. So then they look at it, oh, it's just up to fate. Fate is whimsical. So then he's looking at it, well, maybe we may do bad, but if it's up to fate that we should win, we will. You know. Considering that everything lay in the hands of fate, the king agreed to Duryodhana's proposal. He ordered that the Pandavas should be brought back to play one last game in which everything would be settled. Right? Everything. Right? That's in their world. Everything. When they heard of this, the other Kuru elders objected strongly. But Dhritarashtra would not listen. He ignored their counsel and messengers were sent from Hastinapur to find the Pandavas. Seeing her husband's blind acceptance of Duryodhana's dark plans, Gandhari became anxious. Right? She's already seen the outcome of what they've done before. It brought her to the brink of destruction. She had been mortified to learn of Draupadi's ordeal in the assembly hall. It seemed that Duryodhana lacked all moral scruples. How could the king support him? How could he possibly have sat in silence as the gentle Pandava queen was so harshly abused? Right? Because he's blind. He just goes by what others are saying. And because his son is happy and they're laughing and, you know, like that, then he thinks it's all nice. He can't see how bad it is and what's going on. Hence, no blind kings. When Dhritarashtra was alone, the blindfolded queen approached him. Do you not recall Vidura's advice when Duryodhana was born? He warned us that if we did not cast aside the disgrace of our race, he would surely cause our destruction. It seems that this is now coming to pass. O ruler of men, do not for your own fault sink into an ocean of calamity. Right? She's saying for your own fault, because if he didn't agree to this, it's his fault. It means his sons are bad. They have bad association and all that, which they, you know, cultivate. But the decision's up to him. If he says no, it's just no. Like that. And if Duryodhana tries to revolt against the king, Bhishma and Drona will take care of it. Because they're protecting the throne. So therefore, when she says, you know, of your own fault, that means it. It's completely his fault that he agrees. Or do not accept the counsel of wicked-minded persons who are but boys. You know, meaning they're not very mature. Who would rekindle a great fire after it has been extinguished? Right? They had such a calamity and they got that put out. And the Pandavas left peacefully. Who would start that again? Who could be so foolish as to again provoke Kunti's peaceful sons? The king remained impassive. Gandhari was wise and always thought of his welfare and the good of the Kuru house. But her advice was now like a bitter medicine he could not swallow. He looked away as she continued, but he's just attached to the son. You alone have caused the disaster we now face. Lead your sons on the right path. Do not watch them rush towards death. Abandon Duryodhana now. That means just abandon his plan. Don't follow these plans. The affection you bear for him will destroy this kingdom. Let your mind, guided by wise counsel, follow its natural inclinations towards peace and virtue. Surely you know that prosperity acquired through wickedness is soon lost. So even if they do acquire all this wealth and that of the Pandavas, because it's done in a wicked way, it will be lost very soon. It won't last very long. While that gain through honest means takes root and descends from generation to generation. Right? So we see as Pandus done things, they were having things like this, and so much great wealth. The wealth that they're having now has been accumulated by Pandu, you know, previously, and still is going on. But anything that they acquire because of their stealing it from the Pandavas, then that will soon be lost. Dhritarashtra sighed and stood up to leave. If it is time for the destruction of our race, then what can I do? But then why is he in that position? If he can do nothing, why is he king? To just say it's up to fate, because it's not like he's going to do nothing. He's not going to listen to his son. He's not going to make any other effort. He's just going to sit there. That's one thing. Then what can I do? But he's making a direct effort to follow Duryodhana's plan. And because of that, that will cause the destruction. And then he says, what can I do? As if it's out of his hands. He's washing his hands. If it is God's will, then let it take place without hindrance. Then why do we need him as the king? Let someone else be the king. And then if it's God's will, then, you know, it'll go the way it wants. How can I influence events ordained by destiny? Let the Pandavas return and again gamble with my sons. The queen said nothing more. It was hopeless. Surely the end of the Kurus was nigh. Since no one could sway the king from his folly, she called for her servants and was led back to her quarters. The Pandavas had gone a considerable distance, when to their surprise they saw a group of messengers from Hastinapur, headed by the Pratikamani, approaching them. Yudhishthir dismounted from his chariot, and the servant stepped forward and said, Yudhishthir, your uncle has ordered, quote, O best of the Bharatas, the assembly awaits you again. Come back for one final game of dice. Right, so these messengers, they just say the message as it's given to them, like that. I mean, if they're if they're an ambassador of that, they have the message, but then they see the situation, and they might adjust the presentation, though they won't adjust what's being said. So for him, this is a quote, so he's just saying it as it is. Because the only reason Yudhishthir goes is because he's being requested by Dhritarashtra. So that's an important element here. Like that. Yudhishthir could immediately understand Dhritarashtra's intention. He returned to his brothers and said, all creatures receive the good or evil fruits of their work, as ordained by the Supreme. Whether I play another dice game or not, the fruits of my past activities are unavoidable. Although I know the Kauravas wish to destroy me, I cannot ignore the summons, right? Because they want to destroy him, but he's following very strictly the vow of following the direction of his superiors. Like that. A living creature made of gold had never before been seen. Yet Rama allowed himself to be fooled by a golden deer. When calamity approaches, men's minds become confused. Surely the path of religion is subtle and highly difficult to ascertain. Right? So exactly what should be done in this situation is difficult because he has to respect the superior, but the superior is giving direction that's not actually valuable. So you can see in most cases you can make some adjustments there. But because he had taken very strictly a vow before to follow because he learned about how there was going to be the destruction of everything. And so he thought, well, he should be more virtuous, then maybe he can avoid that. So he's hoping through this to avoid. Then he'll also now explain it's not just that aspect. He thinks, he understands what they're doing, and he's thinking about all the different elements. Yudhishthir turned and retraced his steps back to Hastinapur. He was fearful, despite his best efforts to follow the orders of his elders and avoid conflict. Still, a war seemed inevitable. To refuse Dhritarashtra's summons would only bring the conflict into the open more quickly. But what would be the result of another dice game with Duryodhana? So he knows that if he doesn't, then Duryodhana will prepare for war. So as soon as they get back, they'll just have to prepare for war and fight. But at the same time, with the dice game, then you don't know what will happen there. Like that. So he's stuck between these two. Like that. Okay, so what happens when they go to Hastinapur? Then we'll see you next time. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.